Welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. Here we go. It's on now. The last World Cup qualifying window in about a couple months against the U.S. We just had 7 out of 9 points. I'm getting scared, but then I'm okay because I know who we're facing. But then I'm getting scared again. Says hi to Amy. How's it going on this Monday evening?
It's good. I feel like there's been enough time for me to kind of think about what happened in that recent window. I think it was a rough one in a lot of those games for Mexico, but they got the job done. They got the 7 points.
The job done.
I think it's fair for us to criticize a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed, because if that same Mexico goes up against the U.S., the U.S. is probably getting the win. But I think the most important thing is that Mexico got the 7 points. So I'm okay with that, but I'm also okay with criticizing El Tri, because there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed before the next window.
America, Monterrey, anyone. We can just talk about this could be a very, depressing episode of how just Mexican players right now. Let's go. Amy, Rayados. In the world stage of the World Cup, Club World Cup, we can talk about America. What else can we talk about today? How are you doing?
Is this like the world's shortest podcast? I feel like you're going through.
That was it.
I feel like you're going through everything in the rundown.
We'll see y'all next week.
Also, a key point to remind you: like, we're not live, Wiso. Like, everything's fine. Nobody's watching you outside. I could edit this part out if you really want me to. Like, everything is fine.
I didn't say there was anything bad. It was not a really good intro. Should we just start over again?
No, it's fine. You know what? You were perfect. It's fine. I mean, are we going straight to Club World Cup talk?
I just wanted to talk about two different things. So here we have, and then with Club World Cup, and then we'll go back to it. It wasn't a good weekend for Mexican soccer. That was the theme at the beginning of the show.
I mean,
Omar
it wasn't a terrible, wasn't a terrible weekend for Mexican soccer. But it is a good reflection of the way that things are going recently. Exactly. Although, how much, since we're on the topic, Cesar, I have to give you credit, right? Because you did say that Rayados was going to be slightly disappointing. And I think this is the beginning of a potential, journey in that direction. But did we really have that? But I go back to what I said originally. Did we have that much faith in them going into the Club World Cup? Like, I don't.
Look at the players. I thought we did. Vasco. You have
Gallardo.
Players right now in form.
I think we expected them to at least get a win in this first
game.
We're not saying we expected them.
Never happens. Like, this is the first time it happens. Like, it's not a surprise.
Yeah, but
They had the worst performance of a Liga MX team in Club World Cup history. Right?
No,
is it because they weren't any goals that were scored? Because we've lost.
Because Vado was making a huge joke because we had a chat going, and obviously
Tigres was the same thing.
It depends.
One goal differential. A shot or something.
Rayados still have to play the fifth place game.
If
they win that game, then they'll be above Chivas, who lost the fifth place game in 2018. Because Chivas took part in the fifth place game and lost in 2018. I think they lost on penalties, remember correctly. I forget exactly how they lost. But Rayados,
a fifth place game went to PK. I don't remember this. My mind is blurred at this point. Yeah. But a fifth place game went to PK. Wow.
Should we go to the game?
I mean, a lot of those fans apparently don't want to. Apparently, there are Rayados fans who are like selling tickets. There are Rayados fans doing some other really awful things.
They're in the
too.
News.
Really,
all the stuff that's happening.
We don't need
apparently
to, like,
they're making fun
that.
Of Palmeiras fans before they even got to that game face them.
And then the thing is, it's like,
no, but I'm serious. Like,
already, Mexico fans and the Mexicans, no, that's so, only the Monterrey fans. And the Monterrey fans are going like, what the hell's wrong? They don't represent us. It's like.
I feel like given everything that's happened, maybe I was also like tired because it was just like,
oh my God,
constant outpour of just soccer. Because sometimes you can get tiring, but I feel like the Club World Cup was like kind of.
I didn't even know it was happening.
But it was like, well, there we go. Well, you check out on the weekend, so.
Oh, no, I do not check out on the weekend. I don't check out. I just didn't know. I was like, what is everyone talking about Monterrey right now? I'm like, oh, the Club World Cup. Turned it on. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, for what it's worth, they didn't play good. But I'm just saying, in terms of expectations, were they really that high to begin with? Outside of like,
regardless, they should win this game. We should be able to beat whatever.
Yeah, like, they
should. It never happens. So just a testament of, I don't know. But
and like when you look at the rosters too, just like you can understand why Rayados would lose against a Palmeiras, and why that would still be disappointment in itself. But when you look at the rosters, like. In that first game for them, like Raiola should have got the job done there. And it wasn't as if like Al Ahly were like sitting and like bunkering the entire time. Like they did a decent job right there. I know the second half they sat back a lot, but like right before they scored, they were like getting more and more possession. They were, I don't know, they were like making things difficult for Raiolos. And I don't know, you gotta give them credit. Not Raiolos, you gotta give Al Ahly credit. And it really is an incredibly disappointing performance for Liga MX, because you want, in the same way that Tigres were so close to beating Bayern Munich, and then
Tigres's performance was actually like, it made you kind of like believe. I'm saying this because I don't feel like Monterrey in general lately has been like amazing.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Like Tigres does have this like sense of, I don't know what it is for the men's side, or you know, just in general with the club, which I, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, I can see it. But even with Monterrey, I'm just like, I just didn't see it. So yeah, it's bad that they lost this game, but I don't know. I just felt like meh about it, I guess.
Yeah, luckily it's the Club World Cup, so it's like, if the Liga MX team does poorly, you're just like, it's just the Club World Cup. But then, like, when Tigres are going up against Bayern Munich, like, yes, this is one of the best teams in the world. Let's go, Liga MX. But, yeah.
I think we just, with this type of competition, it's like, if we do bad, everyone kills it. If we do semi-okay, everyone elevates it. It's somewhere in the middle. It's not as good. It's not as bad. Because, again, the travel, the teams you're facing, first round, who's there, blah, blah, blah.
Although, they did play bad, though.
Yeah.
They didn't play good.
They lost. But people go, well, that league's got already better than Liga MX. I mean, we never know. But
it's still a huge disappointment. I mean,
it is. No, it's a disappointment for sure. But it's, I mean, it's a Club World Cup, so
still bums me out. It was like, it was when you look at Liga MX's performances too in the previous Club World Cups, it's not as if they're always fighting for the top two spots. Yeah, Tigres were the only team to make it to the final. After that, you've only had four teams make it to third place. After that, you had five teams finishing in fourth. And then if Rayados win their next game, that'll be the fifth time that a team finishes in fifth place. And also, I did check, Chivas did lose to Kashima Antlers in their first game. And in the fifth place game, they lost in penalties in 2018. So Rayados, if they were to lose it, I guess if that was just in regulation time, I guess you could say that's the worst Club World Cup performance. But yeah. But Chico also finished in sixth too, but that was like before they had the fifth place consolation game, which no one wants to be playing the fifth place consolation game, right? Like who thinks that's fun? Rayados fans probably don't think that's fun.
Well, there it is. We got ahead a little bit about the Club World Cup, and it was good to have a conversation. So going back to the Mexican national team and the 7 out of the 9 points, which I believe, did anybody, I mean, now we're looking at it, everyone really thought that game versus Jamaica was going to be the toughest, right? Like, we're like, all right, it's away. We have to get a win. We got the win. Cesar, you and I kind of talked about, okay, the momentum is going to be there. Costa Rica came. We were there in the at the beginning of the, in our space. And then we saw poor performance from everybody, including El Plantamiento de Tata, and tie four out of the 9 points. And then in that last game against Panama, where, let's talk about it. I mean, it wasn't a bad performance, but it wasn't like a good performance.
The thing is, like, it's, Mexico fans should feel lucky that they had some decent second half finishes to these games, because it's easy to forget, like, that what 270 minutes of play. And from those 270 minutes of play, I believe Mexico only had the lead for about 26 minutes against those opponents. And two of those matches were at home. Like, when you consider that, that's just not acceptable at all. Like, that's incredibly disappointing to think about that. Yeah, 270 minutes of play and only around 26 minutes you had the lead. You got to give credit to Martino for the clever subs he made in the Jamaica game. The second game, that was just one of the most underwhelming performances I've ever seen from all three. And then the third game, you had Julian Araujo looking good as a sub. You had Tecatito looking good. You had, of course, Raul Jimenez stepping up with another game winner against Panama, kind of reminiscent of that goal from 2013. Like we were talking about before we started recording, I think, were we already recording? I don't remember. Mexico got the job done with 7 points, but really there is a lot of deserved criticism for Tata, and whether you believe the rumors or not, whether he would have been fired if he would have gotten a draw, if he would have lost, there's no denying that if that game would have ended 0-0, like, I don't know, that would have been an absolute failure for all three.
Do we all agree, as a Mexican soccer show agreement, that if Tata would have lost the game against Panama, he would have gotten fired?
Yes.
That's it. Are we finally getting you there to say yes?
Like, as in like,
as I would, in us, I guess, like, we are the ones that dictate this. Like, if he lost against the U.S. I mean, he lost against Panama. Because losing against the U.S. is different. I mean,
there was a decent amount of traction to the rumor that, like, at that point, you know, Piojo for being the only...
Laos?
being the only plan B to ever exist in recent times was, like, you know, was already talking about potentially taking over, which you almost kind of think about, like, is that any better as an option?
I mean, I think it would.
I think there would be a fire that is, that is burned and under every player's, you know, butt and, like, in their bellies and stuff to have Piojo. I think he does have this essence to him that, you know, players probably respond to very well.
I'm sorry, because he hit somebody. Like, this reminds me why he got fired. I'm like, why did Piojo? Oh, that's right. It was in Philadelphia after winning. Yes, it kind of was like, if he would have lost, Piojo came in that game against the U.S. It's like, you, it brings you, like, I'm excited for it because Piojo's going to turn it all around.
There's a part of you that's excited for it, but then there is also a part of you that goes, you know, this idea, this discourse around Piojo needs to come back, like, sometimes has run its course, sort of thing, where okay, what if he comes in and then it goes worse than before, and, like, they're embarrassed by the U.S. alongside his antics or something like that. We're never going to see that now at this point. But I'm just excited to I hate to be this person. I'm excited to take a vacation to Qatar. You know, I'll enjoy it for those 2 weeks once they do the bare minimum and get there.
Oh, I thought you meant if they don't make it. I'm like, you're going to go?
No. I'm talking about the fact that they'll still make it.
If we don't go, and we have to, like, work some stuff over there.
But also, I think there's a lot of deserved criticism once again. Whether it be the players, but the group itself, they got the 7 points, and Mexico are now in a good position.
Yes.
They could still finish in second.
I do think the argument still is, like, the long term look. Like, I don't. Yeah, think yeah, I think yeah. that's always been the case. Maybe for, like, the past couple of weeks is, like, okay, they're probably going to get the job done, and even people that I speak to just in general, you know, are like, they're probably going to get the job done, but what does that mean on an international level? Like, what's that going to mean on literally the most important stage?
The problem is,
or are we going to see something? I mean, are we going to see something where, like, you know, Tata's job has always been to make sure they get to the World Cup? Is a switch gonna flip, you know? Is, yeah, I don't know what the saying is anymore,
but I feel like
in the click where he's like, okay, now things. I'm gonna take my job really seriously when I get to the World Cup.
There's a couple things. One, I kind of counter your point in saying is, like, well, you know, as long as they get to the World Cup, but I feel like last year we were saying, just wait till we get to the Nations League so we can, you know, win this tournament against the U.S. Just wait till we get to the Gold Cup and we'll win this tournament. right? And it's like, it didn't happen. Because we're kind of looking at it, like, right, Mexico should win the Gold Cup, should win the Nations League. And then here comes qualifiers. We should be okay. This isn't the best U.S. This isn't the best Costa Rica. Outside of it, Canada's doing amazing, right? And it was kind of like, all right, when World Cup qualifying will start, we'll see the true test of Mexico. Mexico was in first place until November. You know, the first half of the hex, Mexico had more points. Canada lost points at home. The U.S. couldn't beat some. And now the U.S. games, the harder part of our World Cup qualifying, you know, over these games. And then now, you know, again, now another 7 points, I'm saying all this because we're always kind of like, okay, well, we'll see maybe later on when there's some people that are the foot at that were like, we should have fired him last year because we didn't get this. And they're starting to see those signs. I don't necessarily agree with that. But at the same time, it's kind of getting now. I don't think we could beat the U.S. Granted, the U.S. has their own problems, which lucky for us, like they're not doing the greatest. Like they could miss the World Cup. In fact, they lose against us. Then they go to Costa Rica. No, I think they play Panama.
It's still. I think it's a small chance for both U.S. and Mexico. But obviously, what it looks like is whoever wins that game, will basically book their ticket for.
Well, what's the magic number at this point, Cesar? Because
there is no magic number when they're all together.
Right now, like, I mean, yeah, right now it's kind of like there's like no guaranteed magic number right now, but it looks
magic
like
magic number only works when the top and the bottom are doing bad, and it's like Canada has not clinched it because of who they're gonna face. Like they could potentially miss the World Cup too. Like
it looks like more than likely, if you get 21 points, you probably, but don't necessarily have it guaranteed that you'll be in the top four. If you have 23 points, then you probably, but it won't necessarily mean guaranteed that you'll be in the top three.
That only works when the top teams are doing good against the bottom teams like that. And because Canada's doing great, but the teams in the middle, and that's where the U.S. and Mexico, Canada loses the next three games, the U.S. and Mexico gets 9 points, they're first.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the U.S. gets 9 points, they're second. If Canada's losing, like that's where we're at. But when we're looking at it, you know, I tweeted it out. I'm not definitely very confident because it's the game that, you know, I feel like the players have lost confidence in a sense because this has been so tough. Right. And even though, we're getting the points, like, you know, I talked to somebody else that's not, you know, from the U.S. or Mexico, and they're like, you guys are fine. You're going to be fine, you know. But again, it's almost like we lose to the U.S. in the Azteca. That's like the worst. Like, it'll be one of the worst failures in Mexico.
I
think the argument, or not even an argument, it's just like at this point, how important is like winning to Tata? Like, does he care, or is it like let's just get a draw, let's just get a point, let's just acquire, let's just not come out of it with 0 points?
I feel like, can we get it, can you know, does he sign the draw against the Azteca and the U.S.? Like, that's actually
would either of you sign off on that?
Just because I've been
for like a month at this point. I don't care. Just get the tickets to Qatar at this point. I don't care how you guys do it. Like I didn't even watch the Costa Rica game because I fell asleep. But you guys were so demoralized at the end of that one that I was like, I don't care any. Well, obviously I care, but I'm like, I don't, like, just do whatever you need to do at this point.
No,
because even against
Panama that I was finally able to watch, I was like, Jesus Christ, just get it together. Like there was glimmers of like good stuff from the team. There was little glimmers from Chucky, from Raul, but it was like being not able to connect. And you go, how long is it going to take you guys to finally kind of get that part of it together? That you do wonder internally, you know, is it also just like I'm putting in my 8 hours and clocking out sort of thing? Where everybody
There was a real lack of like chemistry for the team. And like, even just like, there were several passes, like several passes from so many players that just were like, not even just like slightly inaccurate, but like genuinely pretty awful. And like, even like when they were in the final third, like, I don't know, like you see that Mexico in those three games, they had 58 shots.
And then on top of that, you went on a PK. Like, you didn't even really create anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
To earn to win them. I mean, I guess Lionel, it could be argued that Lionel earned the PK and he put in the effort to get the win. But in the grand scheme of things, in the full duration of the 90 minutes, what did you really do? What can you really be proud of collectively that you guys, I don't know, getting a clean sheet against Madrid? Yeah,
I was watching the Barcelona Atletico Madrid game, and like, do you guys ever do this where you kind of pretend like that Mexico is one of those teams, and they're like, okay, and they pass it like beautifully like 9 times, like, yeah, Mexico's never done that. You know, this is what a team looks like, and I'm like, this is a good team. Like, even Barcelona, the way they struggled and the way they're coming out in that game, I go, okay, you know, Herrera can pass it that way, and you know, and they can go this way. And then I'm like, we can't put 5 passes like that together. And I haven't seen Mexico put great passes like that together. There's been some moments of brilliance, but I don't want to be like, okay, it's all downhill, because World Cup qualifying is a different animal. It really is. We always struggle. We have always struggled, except when, you know, with Juan Carlos Osorio, and it was an easier time on 2018.
Yeah.
But then again, if you would have told me that we've been getting 7 out of the 9 points in each of the three windows, right? Almost in every single one of them, we've gotten 7 out of 9.
Well,
other than the November window.
There's one you forgot to think of.
Yeah, other than the November window, but I mean, the first window we got 7 out of 9. The second window, I thought we got 7 out of 9. Then we got...
And you do also wonder, too, it's just like, I mean, that maybe this also says a lot about the reliance on Raul Jimenez, but if you had a healthy Raul Jimenez for all three games, like what would have been the difference? What would have been the difference here for all three? You know,
I don't think he would play all three games.
Yeah, there's been a weird aspect, and I kind of really paid attention to it in Cincinnati. Like, there's like this very weird switch in Raul from national team to Wolves performances. Where it's like he gets really lanky when he's with the national team. Like, it's almost like he's not, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like he's not sturdy when he has the ball at his feet. And it you just don't understand why he's doing that. Like, he really throws his body at defenders, like the last man. Like, Zimmerman just completely closed him off in the second half. In the first half, I think he had a little bit more openness in that game against the US. But he was still like, I don't know, just like throwing his body in like really weird directions. And then the game against Panama, it was like, yeah, like you're saying, like there were just like, oh, there were just like bad passes that you didn't understand why he was pushing it so far forward for Chucky when they would finally have a chance to connect at the top.
But in a sense, I felt like the talent of Raul was there. Like, the way he would get open, he would, you know, mark, or there was times where just like, okay.
Well, same thing with Chucky. It's just both of them couldn't finish.
Yeah, no, Chucky also didn't have that great game. So it's at that point, with players, with injuries, with COVID, with them not playing, we're still getting 7 out of 9 points. Like,
yeah, and I think that's the other way of looking at it too. Because, like, you know, we aren't going to be like, and I know Mexico's supposed to be making improvements on world soccer, and that's what we hope for them. But it's not like we're going to look back at like a 2009 World Cup qualifier and be like, oh, but remember that time Mexico only got 7 points for those 3 games. You're like, oh, that looks pretty okay. You sure you were bothered with that? 7 points through 3 games? That's not bad. So yeah, I think there's from a glass half full perspective, you can say Mexico got the 7 points despite the fact that basically all 3 of these games were played behind closed doors. If you want to count those last two, you know, Mexico was able to do that when you did have injury issues, when you had a genuinely out of form Rogelio Funes Mori starting in 2 of those games, but you still expect more from them. And you really do hope that Tata makes some serious changes going forward. In midfield defense, you feel like you can look at every area of
the
pitch.
Johan thing just makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that's definitely,
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because he has played in the national team and it was like, all right. I mean, Araujo did well. I mean, I'm not saying that Montes and Araujo are bad. That's a good thing. Maybe there is competition there. I didn't think.
But no minutes? Absolutely no minutes
at all. No, yeah. But I think that's where it's, did it come down to, hey, Johan, we're going to have, you know, you're not going to play the first game because he didn't even fly, right? He was on the bench, right? Because we need Moreno, which, and then it's like at the end, it's like, well, you know, because of this happened, because Moreno got the two yellow cards, you're not going to get any minutes. That was weird. You know, everyone with Julian Araujo playing so well, Arteaga, like there shouldn't be any more questions that these guys are good. Maybe not the best in Tata's eyes, right? But they're...
But Araujo's performance, and this is trying to be as unbiased as possible. Like that was a good performance. That was...
It was a good performance going forward. So
that was, that was an excellent performance.
In a game, and maybe this is where it's at, in a game going forward, Julian Araujo is going to do well against the U.S. and defending when those guys on the side, that's where you worry against.
I think you have to give him that opportunity, though.
True,
because I've said it before, there are questionable choices that Araujo has made with the LA Galaxy, too, where it's like, yeah, he puts a lot of effort, but where is that final execution where, like, you're actually...
But he's less defensive player, though. Right.
He still has to defend, though.
Yeah, he's more of a player that goes forward.
But at the same time, though, it's not as if we talk about, well, Jorge Sanchez, we'll see what his injury, like how long he's out for. But you can't imagine when you look at Jorge Sanchez, you look at Ashaka, you can't just be like, oh, those guys are solid, week in, week out defenders. Like, I'm very confident
wasn't it Jorge Sanchez who totally took out Alphonso Davies against Canada?
No, but like, I think for club and country, he just hasn't been that consistent.
I think on the defensive side, that's where I think Tata goes, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was able to start Julian. Bring Julian in. Arteaga started the second game. And then played the third game. And I think he did well. But, I kind of go back to, okay, look, everyone's like, oh, this player needs to go in, this player needs to go in, this player needs to go in. And then there's some players that, okay, just because they're in doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play well. Alexis Vega had a great first game and then kind of was absent the second game.
Yeah, yeah. At the very least, though, is that there are options there for Tata. I think if there's one little silver lining, it's just that, you know, in the first game and in the third game, in that second half, you know, some of those alternates, some of those players coming off the bench, like, they made it work. They fixed some of the issues that Mexico had. And at the very least, Mexico will continue to have that little bit of depth where you look at the bench and you feel excited by some of these players. So I think that is good news for all three. But of course, the question is whether Tata is going to get it right tactically and with his lineup in the final three games of World Cup qualifiers. Because
that's the worry part. He still has not gotten a starting 11 that has worked. How many goals in the first half? Dominating. You know, it worked against Jamaica, which... Credit to him, it did, right? Jamaica gave the spaces, Guardado and Herrera in the middle, controlling, kind of going in, overlapping on the wings. It was working. And then what happened? Then the goal happened, and it just kind of just everything went down. And then in the other two games, it felt like Tata didn't have a clear path of what we needed to do in order to stop that bunker in the second game. And then in the third game, a little bit better. We talked about it in the first half. I'm like, okay, Mexico's going to score. You kind of saw it coming. The PK, which for anybody that wants to argue that it's not a PK, like, I don't know how much contact you need more. Did he sell it? Did he jump out? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But there was a clear chance.
Yeah, that was
the conspiracies, CONCACAF conspiracies. Oh, they want Mexico in the World Cup. Yes, because they automatically could have done something for the U.S. not to make it to the World Cup 4 years ago. I mean, we're suffering this much. I'm pretty sure we would have gotten the help from them. But again, it doesn't not there. It reminds me of the Chepo era. Difference is that Chepo was losing games.
I think the Chepo this one it's like it feels like we're close to being pushed off the edge, but we're not supposed to be that close to the edge, but we're being like pretty close. And then with the Chepo, it's like we're fighting to climb back up the wall. like we're fighting, like we were knocked over some hill.
We were fighting to be in the fourth spot. That's what we remember. Yeah. Like we were out of it. Yeah. We were in fifth place in Costa Rica when we were in the game in Costa Rica, and Susie scored that goal against Panama.
And then we also had the bicycle, the Chilena from Raul Jimenez, against Panama. Also, interesting tidbit. So in that game, where he scored the Chilena, I forget the backup goalkeeper for Panama who was at that game that's when he watched Jimenez out of Chilena. He started against Jimenez in the recent Panama game, and he could have denied the opportunity for Jimenez to get another late game winner against Panama, but of course Jimenez snuck it past him. But that was kind of, yeah, it was kind of interesting that
was it Pineda? What was the goalkeeper? Panera?
Yeah, I think it was Pineda. Yeah, who scored?
Oh, Panera.
Panera.
Yeah, Pineda. I was asking myself, hey, where's Pineda? He's been Panama's goalkeeper for a long time. Looking at the standings, it's gonna come down to very, very important. You guys remember 4 years ago that window of that last game where everyone was freaking out of who was gonna go in? There's gonna be another one. Mexico and U.S. play. Let's just say Mexico wins. Just, you know. And then U.S. believe have to play Panama, who needs a win in order for them to be in the World Cup.
No, it's just, I think the U.S.
I know.
U.S. and Mexico can be fine.
The U.S. should win. But that's not the game. That's not necessarily the most important game. They get that win. Okay. Costa Rica, U.S. is the last game in Costa Rica.
Yeah, so Mexico wins. Yeah, the U.S. goes on to face Panama. And then they go on to face Costa Rica. And Mexico goes on to face Honduras. Yeah. And then they face El Salvador.
So we're really lucky that that Honduras game, right, they're done. It's Honduras. And then we get El Salvador.
I mean, the counter argument to that would be, technically Trinidad and Tobago done, and they came out and were
that very last game is not a game like we should beat Honduras, we should beat the
US. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying if it's gonna get like rooms on fire-esque for these like final matches, can't be too confident. You're gonna get the Hondurans mad. You already got Canadians mad. Who else you got mad during this qualifying cycle at this point?
No, I'm saying that we're in a better, much better place than the U.S. is.
I'm not gonna say much better.
I mean, it's not like a worse place, but goal differential. That's why we're in third and they're in second.
No, so but I'm talking about who they have to face. Like you have to be. I'm talking about who to qualify to the World Cup. We have a better spot than the U.S. Now I'm not saying we're a better team. I'm saying that we have an easier route than the U.S. because the U.S. has to go to Mexico, regardless if we're playing bad, even if we get a tie there. That's points that Costa Rica and Panama need. If we tie, that's almost the best scenario for Panama and Costa Rica. Yeah.
Can we say it's dependent on the result? We'll have this conversation again once we see what that result's like.
I feel like we're going to lose to the U.S.
You've been so confident since like last summer.
No, I'm not. Where how you're am like, I being confident?
It started since we're going to beat Canada.
Did we beat
the semifinal?
Did we beat Canada?
Burley.
Doesn't matter. Did we beat them?
Burley. Yes.
And the reason why we beat them is because they didn't have any of the players that were like the good players in that Canada game. And the defense was crappy during the Gold Cup. That's why I say we were going to beat them. Did we struggle? Yes, but did we beat them?
I'm just
yes.
saying, did you learn nothing from this like past 6 to 7 months?
I just hope Weasel doesn't like curse us and we're like, oh my God, we have to beat Honduras 3-0.
That is what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to think you said. That's what I'm trying to explain.
No, I feel like you guys, first of all, you both don't ever like say what you actually want to say. If you're scared about the U.S., you don't say it. If you think you're going to win the U.S., you don't say it. I'm the one that says it, and you guys just kind of, especially you, Amy, you never want to put like, this is
what I do predictions.
But then you're like, Monday quarterback, I knew we were going to lose. I knew we were going to win. So, no.
This goes back to the fact that you spent all of Russia saying Mexico was not going to beat Germany. And then the final day, you're like, Mexico beating Germany. But the whole time, I believed the whole time.
You never said it.
Publicly, I said it to you.
Okay, yeah, publicly. But anyway, I'm going back to this. I'm the one that's saying that I'm scared against the U.S. and I'm not open, right? I'm not being confident. I'm telling you that it's going to be a scary game, and we could lose that game.
I'm just saying,
if we're looking at it, the U.S. does have a harder path than us, if there is a harder path. It's going to be harder for them too.
But wouldn't they have the confidence if they win at the Azteca?
True.
Momentum is always
yes. If they beat Mexico in Mexico, I think they're in.
Yeah, I think it depends on the math, but basically, whoever wins that game is basically through.
So. is in. Yeah, and I think whoever loses, if Mexico loses, it's okay because we play against two teams that are done at the World Cup. If the U.S. loses, they play two teams that are still in it in the World Cup, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I can agree with that statement. I can agree with that.
All right, thank you, Cesar. Two out of three.
I can agree with that, yeah.
Maybe he's not going to agree with anything I say. All right.
You can't put yourself into the two out of three.
Yes, it is two or three because they're votes.
No, you're taking outside. You're taking exterior.
No, otherwise it would be
input.
No,
it'd be one and one. Yeah, you're
get Ollie in here. Ollie. There it is. All right. Let's move on. Mexicans abroad.
You want some good news? Omar Govea got his first start in months, and then he scored an own goal.
Nobody cares.
Then he scored an own goal.
Omar Govea, I see him like, guess what? Omar Govea. And I'm like, Cesar is the only one talking about this, which is great.
Tecatito,
Tecatito's doing amazing.
I didn't get a chance to watch that Sevilla game, but like I was reading like reports from Spanish press and just like people were saying on Twitter and like, man, they were hyping up his performance for Sevilla and the 0-0 away draw with Osasuna. So that's good to see too, because like you really want Tecatito to step up his level. You really want him to be, I don't know, that player that we've always wanted to be, who we believe he could be, like an elite world player. So that's good to see him doing that, and hopefully that continues. The Mexicans abroad. Johan Vasquez was impressive in a 0-0 away draw for Genoa against Roma. So that was good to see. So hopefully if Johan Vasquez continues to have his performances, maybe he'll get some minutes in the next few games for all three. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah.
As far as our Mexicans abroad, if we look at, you know, I think people are I know everyone's upset almost that Diego Lainez and games not playing in Real Betis. But if we look at our players that are in, you have Tecatito at Sevilla. You have Guardado and Diego Lainez at Real Betis and Herrera at Atletico Madrid, which all of them are fighting for the top five spots. Like they're all kind of, I think Real Madrid with 63 points, obviously. But then you have, you know, Sevilla, Real Betis and Barcelona and Atletico Madrid all fighting for that Champions League spot. And I keep hearing, you know, Diego Lainez is just wasting his time there. But right now Real Betis on the second to third spot, like I feel like people would underestimate the fact that it's a really good Real Betis team. And for him to crack that, it's like, imagine being in the top three. Like if this is a Barcelona, this is an Atletico Madrid, that they're better than Atletico Madrid right now. Imagine Diego Lainez is trying to crack the Atletico Madrid starting 11. So I feel like people are just kind of like, all right, he should go to another team. And Diego Lainez keeps saying, I want to be in this team. Pellegrini still wants him. He's trying to be a part of it. He didn't get any minutes when they're down. He's not getting any minutes when they're up. But Real Betis has to play Copa del Rey, Europa League coming up in the next week, and the league. I feel like he will get some minutes.
Yeah, the only thing that gives me hope is that he looked good recently for El Tri. Off the bench, he looked like a good impact player. And you can kind of say the same thing with Real Betis. It's like, when he comes off the bench, especially like in recent months, he's been having an impact. I know it's not a lot of minutes, but when he is getting those minutes, he's been looking good. So that's what gives me a little bit of hope. I personally would have, I think, as cool as it would be for him to stick around Real Betis and continue to train under Guardado, I think it'd be cool to see him go to maybe a team that's not fighting for that top spot, and maybe like a mid-table team, someplace where he can get guaranteed minutes. But at the very least, in those limited minutes, he is looking good. So that's at least the good news there.
I feel like a Villarreal, Real Sociedad, Valencia would be kind of cool to have that. But that was supposed to be what Real Betis was going to be. Just the fact that they're doing so well. They're fighting for it. Hector Herrera, who I saw in the Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid game. Hector Herrera, I know people just hate that he's done, he's washed out. Hector Herrera was trying to command that, you know, trying to get the offense going. Like the coach puts that much trust in him that when you're down 4-2 and we need something to change, Herrera went in. And he didn't do bad. He was playing. So it's like,
he's decent for Atleti when he
Tata Martino saying he's still the best player. He is. Maybe he wasn't playing the best, but he's still the best player. Like anybody that thinks that Herrera should be done from the national team, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I get it.
If we get to Qatar, he's going to be playing almost every game. like you could, based off of what Tata said recently, maybe is also, if you think about it, it could just be Tata also backing his player because he's been getting a lot of criticism. So maybe it's a little bit of that too.
I don't know how to begin against Jamaica.
Yeah. I'm not saying a crappy game against
Costa Rica. Like it's not like it was just that. And I'm not. I get it. He's not having the best time. But to say. Like I keep going back to all the comments, and it's just like Herrera, Guardado, Ochoa, Moreno, they have no business in the national team, and I'm like, Moreno's still better than everybody else. Ochoa, are you like, how did Ochoa get hate after that second game?
Yeah, Ochoa shouldn't be good. Like I could understand a little bit of Ancelotti with his energy a little bit in one of those games, but not Ochoa. But not Ochoa. Like that one's a little confusing too. And Moreno too is just like.
Moreno did fine.
Yeah, he's decent. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah.
Amy was shaking her head when I said Ochoa shouldn't get hate.
Sometimes I feel like Ochoa is just like a tad, and this is a very, very minuscule like fingernail. I feel like he's just a tad bit slower than he used to be. Because I watched America lose very badly this past weekend. It wasn't entirely his fault, but I just feel like a quicker, sharper Ochoa would.
Do we blame Jonah Dos Santos?
My God, don't even talk about Jonah lack of pace, Dos Santos out there. Just it was a bad time. I don't even know why I started caring about that club team so much. Before I was just like, America, title, Edson, Raul, all of a sudden, Solari comes.
How many times have you seen America win?
Excuse me. I've seen them win plenty of times. I've talked about it enough times. I watched them in 2013 on my birthday win the most.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you say America win. Like America
was winning for a cool while, and then
we can count the CCL too, right? That's a big one.
No,
hey,
look, 2013. Then there was one where Edson scored twice. I can't remember the years. This is why I'm not that great of a fan.
I think they've won twice in the last 10 years.
No, I think they won in three.
I think most...
Yeah, there was one where is
Leon has where Edson, Leon has the, amount, around the same amount. I think it was.
Is the one where Edson scored also the one where Lioness was like a huge deal where people were making a big deal about little Lioness? So. Was that the same one? I can't remember. So. Anyway, team sucks. Speaking of people who need to leave, Solari, goodbye.
Honestly, what matters the most, though, is just like for fans of that, is that Solari just isn't, you know, he wasn't able to pull it off in the playoffs, the last two playoffs, and then now
it's just not working. I still, contrary to like my
season, they'll be fine.
No. They were in first place and then blew it in the playoffs. Like
this is why it's changed.
It's just not working.
To be in first place,
it's just not working.
Also,
Tata should go to Tata and Salah.
This is a joke, Seth.
Yeah.
It's not working.
And the thing is, just like too, in Liga MX terms, like if you've had a job for as soon as you have a job for over a year, like that's you've been there for quite a long time. Like I wouldn't be surprised if Salati is one of the managers who's been there. With his team like the longest, he's got to be at least a top.
He's
five.
Got just seniority at this point.
He's got in Liga MX. He's got it. I guarantee he's
by
top.
Liga
five.
Standards, we can go through the top like
by
five.
Liga MX standards. He's eligible for tenure.
At this okay. Leon switched.
I'm looking it up right now. I would not be surprised if he's a top five right
Everyone's
now.
Everyone's talking about Puebla. It's like oh my
with,
god
with Larcamón, yeah.
Oh my
well,
god!
You, so, you bless them. Team. You're the one that said it. You bless them.
So actually, yeah. So Solari is the fifth. His tenure is the fifth oldest in Liga MX.
Is there like a website that's tracking this? How'd you do the math so fast?
Actually, what is it? Wikipedia does a good job of keeping track of this. Lilini has been in there for a year and 199 days. Then it's Coca with Atlas. Then Aguirre with Rayados. Larcamón with Puebla. And then
Aguirre's Solari. Been there longer than Solari.
Yeah, December 2020. Yeah, I do remember.
That was like
that.
2 years.
What? Yeah, December 2020.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So once again, so Solari in Liga MX terms, he's been in charge. Wow.
Who's this?
It's just not working at this point. Yeah. It's Solari. Like you can't. There's no excuse. There's nothing. I mean, if we're talking about teams that just don't make sense at all when they go onto the field and. I mean, you can't eat, like, there's that those two goals were in spite of him. They weren't even because of him at all. That's just, you know, Roger getting a goal and Henry Martin just coming back and, I guess, doing something. But
no. Yeah, and I feel like with América, it was like Solari's tactics, which aren't that exciting, it was like forgiven because of how well they were doing in the regular season. And now that things are now that things aren't going well in this season, it's like you can't say like, oh, at least they're playing like really attractive, attack minded, like an aggressive soccer. They aren't doing that. Yeah,
an argument can almost be made last season that you go, you know, like this is gonna sound very MLS-y, if you will, right? But like, oh, if it was just a traditional thing, he would have been a very good, you know, intelligent coach, because he didn't play beautifully, but they were first place, and you know, in another world they win the title. But he's not a playoff coach. Like when it comes to like that fight, that whatever, that guy, if you want to say, it doesn't work out. And now it, like, people have figured them out in the regular season too. Like, it's just,
I think you guys are overreacting.
No, but the thing is, like, but it's America, though. That's just like there's incredibly high standards and ambitions.
They've tied against Puebla, who's a really good team, right? They lost against the champions, okay? And there's red cards all over in those matches, by the way. Like, and then
including Solari, who decided that he was also a player.
Including Solari. And then this match, I mean, I was pissed the fact that América did not win. But it's those other two matches, like, I can see. Who do they face next?
But the thing is, like, it does, like, because of what happened, it's almost like
Santos, youthful Santos.
It's also like, if you wanted to make a comparison to that, like, because of what happened in November for he was already on the hot seat, for this window. So it was the same thing with Solari. Like, because he didn't win the last two titles, he was going into the season already somewhat on the hot seat. And by having we can find reasons for that. They should have won that game. There is this game. Like,
they're gonna make it to the league.
He's on the hot seat. I'm not saying that I would.
They're gonna make it to the league just to lose again.
Yeah, 99% of the teams do.
Yeah, it's because everybody's to the league.
So competition works. Thanks. So.
I'm just saying, like, I feel sometimes like
there's winners and losers. I wasn't aware of this. Thank you.
No, I feel like sometimes it's like, oh, they're playing so bad, and I'm just like, it's the third freaking match, like. Like, and you played against the winner and against a team that's doing well. And so.
I just don't know how to
see it. No, yeah. I don't see it. I just don't see it long term.
All right. Our football podcast 100th episode this week. Are you guys celebrating?
Well, I was going to celebrate on my podcast by explaining that it was the 100th episode, but thank you for letting people know. Adriana and I are still kind of working out the kinks. We're hoping to have something good for that.
You have like a special guest?
Still working out the kinks, Wiso. So
okay. All right.
We'll figure out what we're going to do. But we've been kind of stalling because obviously I was traveling last week. And then like when we got to 99, we're like, oh crap, the next one's 100. What should we do?
You guys get that like.
That actually would be a very funny dynamic in a different world. But we're pretty excited. Our joke was like the 80s, like if you go back and if you actually want to listen to the Our Football Pod, like 80 took forever, like because we were both so busy. And then 90 just kind of sped right past us. And then we got to 99 and we're like, oh my God, we're about to hit 100 episodes. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it's going to be, February is a good month for Our Football Pod and Mexican women's soccer. A lot of international competitions coming.
Yeah.
And
we got Mexico
and Eve coming up, right, for the women's?
CONCACAF W is going to start in a few weeks. So that should be fun.
We're going to start to see some exciting feminine games. We got the
Rayadas won like 6-2 today.
Yeah,
too.
I saw that. Yeah.
A lot of goals happening in Liga MX Women.
All right. Well, did we miss anything? Talk about Liga MX, national team.
Really quickly, it's interesting to see, what is it, the Liga MX announced last week that...
that FIFA will no longer be able to use.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Good luck playing eSoccer. And then I Googled it, and then like eSoccer was was like, it was like eSoccer is the worst rated game on Steam. But no, but League of Legends is announcing that their combined viewership last season was 76.8 million. And from that 76.8 million, 36.4 million was from the US. So nearly half of their audience last season.
What did that end up being? Like 45%, no?
It was like 47%.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, that was almost shocking. Like
That can't be right.
That Liga Mekis announced, that was official. It wasn't like some ESPN report. Really trust Liga Mekis. It's like, no, they were using Nielsen ratings.
That doesn't sound right, because
it doesn't sound right, but I don't
this
know.
Man,
but
this man just spent a 10-minute tangent talking about how somehow Mexico is going to qualify in first place in World Cup qualifiers, but he doesn't trust the Nielsen numbers.
I don't trust Liga Mekis' numbers to fluff marketing pieces to get more sponsorships.
I don't know. That was, like I said, that wasn't just them. Like, that was from Nielsen, like, ratings. It was like that wasn't just them being like, with like announcing it without a source. Like, it, like, that source was, yeah. Like, yeah. So even if it's something close to that, even if they did like inflate that a little bit, that says a lot about,
you got friends in high places. Weasels, you should ask.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a problem. Like, the minute you start asking, Weasels no longer with
that. But yeah, no, I thought that was, really
no, it's, yeah. No, I think, well, I'm shocked, because of 50% of viewership close from TV on.
I mean, if you look at, like, soccer's getting more, I don't know, getting more attention in the U.S. with each passing year.
Yeah,
you got the huge Mexican-American, like, fan base that is growing, like, more and more with each passing year.
Also, remember,
population, like,
Dudén is still pretty, like, way more accessible than every other insert five streaming services that you need on English language. So you're not just getting the Mexican American demographic. You're also getting,
I'm questioning the fact that Mexico's like all of viewership from all of Mexico and from Fox, from everything equals like half of it comes from the US. I'm just like surprised by that, because you know, Chivas America game, everybody's watching it in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, sure, people are watching it here, but the population, I mean, there's only 40 million Mexican that are living here. It's still, you know, let's say 50% of that is watching them. I would say that everybody's watching it in Mexico, because that's like a...
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what Liga Mekis said, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that kind of... got my attention along with the Konami news too, which is very weird.
So they're not going to be in the FIFA games?
Yeah. Yeah. So
wait, so how does, so you can't pick Mexico?
No, I think
the Republic of Mexico.
I think you can still pick like the Mexican national team, but I don't think you can choose Liga Mekis teams.
Well, like, you can't play like America versus Real Madrid.
No, well, it's probably gonna be like what is it, like you know how
Eagles,
you know how yes. Juve, you know how Juve is it's just like Calcio something on FIFA. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be something like that. I don't know what the generic team name's gonna be.
So like, but Mexico, we're not gonna City have FC. Like, it's not gonna be a player like Ochoa's like curly hair there.
I don't know. We'll have to interview someone from FIFA.
Cesar, when did you start working for the League?
I'm just saying, like, how is
have all these answers?
That's how you do, damn it! Now I'm involved. Like, I'm like, wait, so you can't play? I've never.
Do you even play FIFA?
I played it. I tried to play with Leon, and that was horrible. Maria Sanchez beat me,
I haven't played in months. I don't know, I get like really frustrated with it, and I've been playing a lot more Halo and a lot of City Skylines on the Xbox. Have you guys ever played City Skylines? It's like it's kind of like Sim City, but anywho, yeah, I've been all about that recently.
I play PUBG.
Anybody got a Nintendo Switch?
I do. I was playing Mario Party 2 days ago.
Oh, the new Pokemon came. That new Pokemon game came out, right? For the Switch. That looks like fun.
Yes, I've heard a lot about that game. It's apparently very fun.
Who did you hear a lot from?
People. Isn't it about time we end the podcast?
It's start talking about Pokemon. City Skylines.
All right, guys. Welcome. I mean, not welcome. Thank you for
actually, we haven't started recording.
That was the intro to the Mexican Soccer. Today is the 8-hour edition of Mexican Soccer Show. Okay, all right. Important stuff that's happening this week outside of Liga MX.
Right now, Cruz Azul León is happening right now. Then we're supposed to have the postponed Chivas Juarez game on Wednesday. I think they're supposed to be, Juarez were supposed to be using their Juan Gabriel jerseys too, so I wonder if they're going to wear them on Wednesday. What else?
Got domestic cup games for obviously the Mexicans abroad, and then obviously you have league games moving forward. I think there's like a Copa del Rey match on Wednesday, if I remember correctly, and then PSV plays tomorrow. I was just doing the schedule, so I was remembering this stuff. Wolves versus Arsenal on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then
Arsenal wins? Is that what you want?
No. I'm not allowed to say anything about Wolves versus Arsenal anymore since of what happened. I'm just going to let anything. I really take that seriously. And then Wolves face Tottenham over the weekend, so those should be two good games.
Nice.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mexican Talk Show. We'll